Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
.216-474-992. We're still talking Cavs, though. I think that tonight is like the biggest statement of a win the Cavs can make at this point in the season, understanding that 9-0 is a statement in of itself. But the other part of this, G, like however long this continues, and even if they were to lose tonight, and then on the other side of that loss, they go on another win streak, and they stack a whole bunch of other wins. At what point should we elevate our expectations for the Cavaliers? And I'm going into this understanding, like, I don't even know, like, where you set the bar already. I'll just tell you point blank, like, for me, it was you got to at least get to, or the bar should be set at least at get to the conference championship. Because that's the thing that's eluded them, right? It was, we're a play-in team. We lost in the play-in tournament. Then the next year, you earn a bye, but you get gentlemen swept by the Knicks in an embarrassing fashion. Year after that, you sort of manipulated it so that you got an easier matchup in the first round. Took you 7 games, but you did get out of the first round. And then you played the Celtics, who were just a juggernaut, and you had some injuries, so you can lean on the idea that, like, well, if we had those guys, maybe it would have gone differently. Donovan Mitchell talks about how he's never made it out of the first round. He's got to get to that point if he's going to be considered in the pantheon of all-time great players. So for me, it's like the bar for me is the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, you got to get there. But if this kind of continues, if this run continues, even if it's with a loss thrown in tonight, when do you change those expectations, whatever your expectations for the team might be?
So my expectations was always Eastern Conference Finals. You're dealing with Boston, who obviously is you know, I think it's going to really help them. The fact that they've had 4 Olympians or 3, what do you know, 3. Should have had 4. Yeah. But I think you automatically grow from an experience like that, playing with all those guys, coming off a championship. And on top of it, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown being left off and Jason Tatum just sitting on the bench. Like,
yeah, they obviously the Celtics just played the Warriors the other night. Like, they're on their way back, heading west tonight. And I don't know if you heard the video of when Steve Kerr was announced. Like, those fans were booing him.
Hey, so you gave them a little bit more motivation. So I think the Celtics are you know, obviously the team to beat in the East. But the way that the Cavs are playing, I think that It doesn't change my perspective on it. I think what really got J.B. Bickerstaff fired was this. He never understood that progress was a thing that happens over time. He always considered this team. It used to irk me when he said, "We're young." No, you're not. J.B., you're not a young team. Like, you're using that as a crutch. Our guys fought and did certain things.
They were young by age standards, but maybe not by, like, at this point, like, at the end of the playoffs this year, you weren't young by, like, NBA experience standards,
yes,
right? Because you've been to the playoffs now 2 times.
And Darius Garland, what is this, in his, what, 6th year? 5th? 6th year?
I think fifth year.
Donovan Mitchell has been one of the best players in the game for a long time, for multiple years.
Yeah. When he first got traded to Cleveland, I was shocked to find out like how young he still was. Like he was only I think like 26 at the time. 6 year for Darius Garland. But yeah, like I feel like Donovan Mitchell's been doing this for like a decade at this point. Yeah, like he's been so damn good. I always hear him like talked about as one of the best players in this league. So that was even surprising to sort of just be reminded how young he still was as a player. But to your point, he had a lot of experience coming in.
These guys, and he never elevated the expectation level for what the Cavs could be. And what ended up happening was, it's cool for you to motivate guys and get them to play hard and get them to play defense and be a motivational guy. But after a short period of time, those guys are going to say, listen, ain't about you motivating us. It's, can you call an out of bounds play? Can you get me a shot coming off a screen if I need to? Can you make adjustments to shut down a guy who's hot like Jason Tatum? And those are the basketball IQ type things that the Cavs just really struggle with. So when I look at Kenny Atkinson, I just like his energy level and the way he goes about putting expectations on him. You know, in the press conference they talked about, Kenny Atkinson told reporters that, hey, look, Evan Mobley, I tell him every time, I point out on film, when you get the ball, push it. Don't worry about what other people's doing. Don't worry about the initiating offense and worrying about where Garland at is. You take the ball. And every time he does it, we show him and reinforce that type energy so that he becomes more comfortable with becoming a playmaker like that.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, the more he does that, and I think that's kind of Kenny Atkinson's point, is like, I'm okay with you pushing and maybe not being totally comfortable with that in the early going because you haven't necessarily done that before. But the more he does it, the better he's going to look at like surveying the court while he's dribbling and seeing like, oh, I got Darius in the corner, I can kick it. Yeah, like he's definitely brought something out of this team that this is what we hope for, right? Like when they kept the team the same and some of us were, I was certainly banging the drum of like, I feel like you can't just stay the same in this league and expect different results. They stayed the same roster-wise, but the coach really has been the thing, at least to this point, that's unlocked a lot for them. I don't know, like, if you have to – this start has to make you change your expectations wholly. And if you're setting the bar at the Eastern Conference Finals anyway, like, you're already – the bar's already so high. The only other place you can take it, obviously, is – well, I think they now can go to the championship or win the championship. There's only really two more steps beyond that. I think I can tell you, like, naturally – where it's going to happen is if they keep playing really good basketball, even if they're, I don't expect them to be undefeated when this happens, but December 1st is when they have their first matchup with the Boston Celtics. And whether they have one loss by then, three losses, five losses by then, whatever, I think that's going to be the point where people actually start revisiting the expectation conversation. Because if they play well in that game and lose, but it's close, down to the wire, or if they beat them, then I think people are going to be like, they're going to talk themselves into every way they can. Hey, you know, I think that this team can do this, and I think this team can actually compete with the Celtics. I think they're on the level playing field now. The one thing I want to warn against, though, G. Bush, and this is why, like, I'm keeping my expectations where they're at right now and just kind of enjoying the ride, is because we know that the regular season is always different than the postseason. Like, mm-hmm. We know this team has done it in the regular season. Maybe not to this level. This is a different level, and Kenny Atkinson's going to pull different strings than J.B. Bickerstaff did, and he's going to have different game plans and thought processes when he goes to the playoffs with this team, and we're assuming they're going to make the playoffs at this point. I think that's probably a safe bet. But
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
He has to do it on that stage for us to really believe that they're ready to take any sort of leap in terms of expectations. So I'm going to just try my best this whole season, even as I get excited about 9-0, maybe 10-0, whatever, to keep my expectations where they're at, because it makes the season more enjoyable until we get to that point in the playoffs where we can definitively say, okay, this team can go to that stage, or they might actually have to change some things up next offseason.
I think, coming from an athletic background, I think that it's important for the fans to understand that, like, you know, you can't fast forward the regular season.
Yeah.
And the reason why you shouldn't even try to fast forward the regular season is because you need to be putting work in to be getting, you know, the cliche.
The regular season is about, like, habits, like establishing the habits. We just talked about Evan Mobley, like, learning getting how to see the court as he's in transition. That's the type of stuff you're working on in the regular season.
You get better in real time. Like, coaches, it sounds like a cliche. It's either you're getting better or you got worse today. Like, it's about putting together habits. It's about building structure and culture. And that's the problem that we talk about with the Cleveland Browns, right? We go back to the Browns a little bit and you kind of say, the reason we're so disappointed in the Browns is because we felt like we had built enough stability that our culture would prop us up in times when you don't have it. And you look at the Steelers. It don't matter who's that quarterback.
How many times do we talk about, like, Mike Tomlin's, like, philosophy and the culture over there? Like, every year it comes up. Every year we're ready to write off the Steelers. We're like, this is the year the Browns sweep them. And then every year they're right there in the playoff December.
They don't fold under Mason Rudolph. They didn't fold under Kenny Pickett. They didn't fold under Justin Fields or Russell Wilson.
Duck Hodges, like you said.
They still play the same way. They still get the wins because they already know this is what we do. We don't play no other way. See, the Browns get to a point where it's like, if we don't have all of our players that are 100% healthy, we can't do anything. What? The Ravens every single year. It don't matter if they miss on defensive linemen or miss over here. Guess what? They got a culture that says, no, when you step in, you're expected to play a certain way. So for the Cavs, I'm looking for that. I'm looking for a place where not only are you contenders this year, but I need you to be to a point where you're like the Spurs or you're like the Warriors to a certain extent, or the teams that are like, hey, we're going to be around for a long period of time. We might have to make tweaks. But we're going to be here.
They got to definitely prove that. And I do think, to your point on, like, the injuries and like, the Celtics are a juggernaut largely because they, like, think about how they won the finals last year. They got there without Kristaps Porzingis for, like, large portions of that postseason run. He was even still banged up in the finals. Like, they proved they were a deep team and that you were going to get their best every single night from all of those guys that were playing. And it's funny, like, the last 2 years, I found myself trying to tout how great the depth of this Cavaliers roster I thought was. And with JB, we didn't see it. He had his structure. He was like, I'm only going 8, maybe 9 guys deep off my bench. But 8 was kind of the standard. He wasn't really going beyond 8. And that's why, like, in the playoffs, you got people clamoring for, like, why didn't this guy play? Why didn't that guy play? And it's like, guys, you first of all, that guy wasn't going to save your season anyway. But at the same time, like, that's just not the way JB Bickerstaff does things. This is the first year, and again, 3 straight years of me saying, this team has a lot of depth, this team has a lot of depth. This is the first year you're seeing a coach tap into that depth. He's not playing anybody more than, like, 32, 33 minutes. Like, as much as we got on JB for Donovan playing, like, 35 to 38 minutes every night, it was like, why was he doing this?
Running them.
Yeah.
Kenny
Atkinson has not done that. He's trying to use guys off the bench like Caris LeVert, like Isaac Okoro, like Ty Jerome, who's had a fantastic start to the season, like Craig Porter Jr. And that is the stuff that, to your point, G, like, that benefits you when you get to the playoffs, because if Darius Garland misses a game with an injury, you know you feel comfortable that there's going to be somebody else who can kind of step up and at least give you something respectable in that role.
Yeah, you got guys that if Darius Garland is your third best player, awesome. You know why? That means Evan Mobley is a baller. Evan Mobley is doing and expanding his game. Donovan Mitchell is still being a closer. And I think that's why you see Darius Garland to a certain extent playing a lot more freer, because it isn't just him at the top of the key running pick and roll, trying to dribble around, playing ring around a Rosie, finding somebody, or, you know, it just, the offense is more free. Everybody's moving.
Yeah.
Bodies are moving. People are moving. And it's just a freer system, and a ball has energy, and they're playing with it right now.
Yeah, it's been awesome to watch, and I certainly think there is reason to believe that this team can exceed our expectations. I just don't know if I'm ready to go there with it yet, because we all know we got to see this in the playoffs first, but it is exciting, and I do expect, like, a win like tonight, I think we'll have people talking. They're already talking differently about the Cavs, but I think this is one that will sort of cement them as, like, okay, if there's anybody left out there that is still sort of like, I got to see more, I think tonight is your more. I think tonight is a game that is kind of the more of that conversation. And I do think when you get to December 1st, how they play that first matchup with the Celtics, that will be another talking point for people to sort of talk themselves into whatever type of changing or evolving expectations somebody might have for this team. I'm trying to sort of stay level-headed about it, because we know it's about the playoffs when it's all said and done.
Well, here's the reason I'm going to be so dialed in, because I just want to forget about the Browns.
Cavs season started at the perfect time.
Because
was like, what, 3 weeks ago? Yeah. And the Browns at that point were like 1-4. It was this season feels over.
This is the worst part about the Browns is, there isn't even one guy that you look at and like, oh my gosh, look at that quarterback right there. If we lose all our games, we can at least get that prize. There ain't even one of those in the draft.
You ever seen the movie Fever Pitch?
No, I haven't.
So there's this scene in Fever Pitch where Jimmy Fallon, I don't know if you know the concept. The whole movie is like Jimmy Fallon's a Red Sox fan, mm-hmm. and it takes place in the year they broke the curse in 2004 and all that. There's a scene where he's talking about his love for the Red Sox, and this kid says to him, he's like, you love the Red Sox, but have the Red Sox ever loved you back? And it's like the whole thing that it makes him realize he needs to like pursue Drew Barrymore and actually like marry her.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it feels like between the Browns and the Cavs right now. It's like, have the Browns ever loved you back? Because the Cavaliers have loved you back. They won you a title. They brought you a championship. Yeah,
the Guardians went to the ALCS. Like,
yeah,
it's, you know, I need something to distract myself. But I think the Cleveland is a really big basketball town when they're good.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's a lot of cities, but I think Cleveland definitely gets into it. We've seen it. When at the peak of LeBron, man, this team was into it when they were at their best, and I think we're seeing that now this year. There's a lot of excitement for this team, and there should be. When do you change or up your expectations for the Cavs, given the start of the season that they've had?
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.